Our first 2 weeks for our meditation of Advent on the Kerygma were, of course, on creation and then that reality of captured. And now we come to rescue, and I wish I could have some personal anecdote that just perfectly relates that reality of rescued. Maybe some story about a moose or something like that. If only I had something that I could share. If only I had something like this kind of experience. Say I had the experience where some creep came up to me and talked me into committing a crime. And I go off and do that, and I end up getting imprisoned because of that crime. And then that same horrible creep ends up being right there with me in prison, beating me up and corrupting me, so that in the end I have no hope and only a future of isolation and misery. But moved with compassion, that the judge of my case actually sends his own son to willingly go into that prison and find me. First, he takes out the creep and keeps him at bay. And then he starts to work with me, to be present with me in all things, until finally I can go before the parole board as a new man and get out of prison with him. Well, okay, I haven't had that experience, but if I did, it'd be the perfect one to share. So I'm going to share it anyways. And the reality is that on a spiritual level, all of humanity has had that experience. Humanity was duped by the enemy, by Satan, in the beginning to turn away from God, to sin against God. Humanity then was captured in sin and doomed to death, and its supposed rebellion ended up becoming its pathway into enslavement. I think we can just look at human history, at that lamentable dynamic, and also how it can play out in individual people's lives. And so there's that reality of captured, of being bound, controlled by a power I cannot overcome. And not just exteriorly bounded and controlled, but interiorly as well. My very desires distorted by sin, my very vision distorted by sin, and falling into some kind of Stockholm syndrome where I start to take sympathy with my own hostage taker. We looked at that last week, and it truly is the plight of every person, whether they are fully aware of it or not. But God's great love for humanity, his great love for his creation, would not tolerate this evil and injustice. God would set out to get his creation back. And that's what we contemplate this week. How did he do that? I think our readings give some beautiful points to guide us into that. From Zephaniah, our first reading, it says this: "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love." The Lord your God is in your midst. And so to save us, to rescue us from this horrible plight, God himself chooses to come, just as he freely chose to create us. Well, how does he come? How does he come? We have John 3:16, the famous passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." And so God comes to us in the sending of his Son. The Son of God came into the world, which had become a kind of prison, to rescue us. Okay, well, how? How did he come into the world? John 1:14, "The Word, that is the Son, became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Son of God came, and came in such an incredible way in that he took on our human nature while still fully remaining God. So Jesus Christ then, as man, he can take up our fight because he's one of us, and he can assume the debt that we owed from our sin. And how fitting in fighting for us, rescuing us through our nature which had fallen away from God, becomes part of the instrument that he uses for our own liberation. But then also Jesus Christ, not only as man, but as God, actually has the power to save every one of us. How did Jesus do this? How did he, who came the Son of God, taking on our nature out of God's love to rescue his creation, his very special part of creation, humanity, how did Jesus do this? There's so much that could be said. I'll try to give you just a few insights into that. There's a great writer that I like, N.T. Wright, and he describes it this way, that Jesus Christ, he would defeat evil by letting it do its worst to him. This great paradox. Jesus Christ would defeat evil by actually letting it do its worst to him. Which in a way is just living out the wisdom, the challenging wisdom he gave to his disciples. If you remember how he'd said one time, if somebody strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other. Someone demands a mile from you, go with them the extra one. Someone demands your cloak, give them your mantle as well. He let this evil do its worst to him, but then in that he masterfully made evil the cause of its own demise. He did that first because in that challenge of evil that brought death to him, his obedience in that all the way to death, his love of God and his love of neighbor all the way to that ultimate sacrifice he made overturns the disobedience of humanity, that disobedience provoked by the enemy, sets it aright. Finally, this human who loves all the way, obedient all the way to the Father and his love keeping him on the cross for all of us, it overturns that disobedience of Adam and the hate that it degenerates into. And then secondly, laying down his life in the sacrifice of the cross, he then takes it up again in the resurrection. Death is defeated by Christ, which disarms Satan, who ruled through death in fear of it. Going to the letter to the Hebrews, it says, through death, Jesus Christ might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, we know that Christ, raised now from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. And he destroyed the one who has the power to wield that and enslave. And then finally, Jesus Christ, in going through this passion, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unites God's mercy and God's justice and shares them both with fallen humanity. Our sins are authentically taken away by Jesus Christ, and through him we have access to God's grace that makes us new, continually can make us new. As John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I think it's so beautiful, this reality is given to us in every Mass. At the beginning of Mass, we have the penitential rite, where we acknowledge, yes, you know, we are baptized, we have grace, yet there's still that battle with sin in our lives, and so we acknowledge that reality with humility. And what do? We cry out, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then what happens? We hear God's word. God's word, the Son of God, comes to us. And then in the Eucharist, we have present his great sacrifice and his resurrection. And then what happens when we cry out again for his mercy? What does the Father give us? Well, I hold up the Eucharist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God's loving response to our plight, our struggle, is given to us again and again in every Mass. And so as the Catechism says, by his passion, Christ delivered us from Satan and from sin. He merited for us new life in the Holy Spirit. As John the Baptist said in our Gospel, He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and his grace restores what sin had damaged in us. That is rescued. Contemplate what your life would be like without Jesus Christ. What would be your hope? What would happen after death? Maybe that gives the words of our responsorial psalm new relevance for you and become your prayer more deeply. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. Gaudete Sunday indeed. Rejoice. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. That is what our Lord has done for us. That is how he has rescued us. Next Sunday, we'll meditate on how do we respond? How do we respond to this great gift of salvation given to us? Or as the responsorial psalm proclaims, with joy you will draw water from the fountain of salvation. We'll meditate on how do we keep drawing from that fountain of salvation, receiving that saving water in our lives, and then very importantly, how do we bring many others to that fountain as well?